I had a good week too. Not perfect. But good. Private joke here. No. No, Dave. I'm still looking. I'd like to point us to Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. Beginning at verse 12, just a short passage. And then we'll consider at least a portion of it together. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, teach us from your truth. Reveal to us what you want us to focus in on today. Speak to us so that we might take what we hear and learn from you, and through your Holy Spirit's help, apply it to our lives that we might continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. So guide us in these moments, I pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. For a pastor, books are what tools are for a mechanic. And during my life, I acquired a rather extensive library. And you have to admit, when people came into my office and saw the long bookshelves of books, it was pretty impressive looking. Sometimes people would ask me, have you read all of those? And I had two choices at that point. I could say, well, yes, I have, but that would be lying. Or I could say, no, I haven't, at which point they might think, well, you're just doing that to try to impress people. So I never knew how to answer that question until I was talking to a friend about it who apparently had the same issue. He's a book lover like me, a pastor, and had more books than I had. And we were talking about it one day. He said, people always ask me if I've read all the books I have. I said, how do you answer? And he said, well, this is the way I answer. He says, some of them twice. Think about that for a moment. That's one of those you have to think about a bit. He didn't lie. He'd read some of them twice, but he didn't answer the question, did he? Well, I had a lot of books, and I read some of them twice. In that library, I had probably over a dozen books or so specifically about prayer. And I did read all of those. And as I read book after book after book on the subject of prayer, I finally recognized something. That it's a whole lot easier to study about prayer than to actually pray. It's easier to preach to you folks about your need to pray and what prayer is, than it is for me to actually pray. Knowing all about prayer doesn't necessarily translate into praying more or more effectively. All the information in the world about prayer means nothing if we don't use it. That's true of most things, isn't it? All the information in the world about prayer is great, good to be educated, knowledgeable, helpful, but unless you use it, unless you actually pray, it's just knowledge. I've been examining with you, and will continue to for a few weeks at least on these Sunday mornings, about growing in the Lord, growing in our walk with Him, maturing in our faith, becoming true disciples of Jesus Christ, and talking about how that happens and how we can cooperate with God to bring that about. The last time we were together, I mentioned the foundational thing about growth, and that is the Bible. Reading it, studying it, meditating on it, applying it. And I mentioned that one group years ago called the Bible an altar where we meet the living God, and we certainly do when we open the pages of this book and read and study. We meet God in a personal way. Today, I want to go on to the next discipline. There's Bible reading and studying, meditating, all that's foundational. The next thing I want to talk about is today prayer. If you're going to grow in your faith, you must be a praying person. In fact, I'm not really sure if prayer is a cause of growth or the result of growth, probably both. As we grow in the Lord, we find we want to pray more. And as we pray more, we find we're growing in the Lord. So it works both ways. Prayer is to one's spiritual life what exercise is to one's physical life. If you don't exercise enough, your muscles start to weaken and atrophy. And if we don't pray, our spiritual lives become fat and lazy, and our spiritual muscles atrophy and decay as well. For a Christian, praying is essential. It should be an essential, regular, normative part of our lives. So my task today is to somehow get all of us, including myself, to actually pray, to increase our prayer life. Because I'm making the assumption here that all of you pray. At some point, in some way, you pray. That's a part of what you do. And I'm making the assumption that you all believe that prayer is a pretty important thing. So I'm not going to try to convince you of that. But if you're like me at all, you know that knowing all of that doesn't always translate into actually spending quality, effective time with God in prayer. And ultimately, I can't get you to do that, and you can't get me to do that. It's something we all have to decide to do, choose to do, make a priority in our lives. And hopefully, maybe that something is said today will be used by God to help challenge us in that direction, to take whatever the next step might be in becoming more effective praying people. So this morning, I just want to give a basic primer, if you will, on prayer, to remind us of what it is and why it's significant. So I'm going to try to answer three questions this morning. First, what is prayer? Secondly, why should we pray? And thirdly, what does prayer accomplish? And any one of these subjects could take hours. I'm not going to keep you for hours. Boy, I saw the look on your face. Oh, no. No. As I said, this is a primer. It's a shortened version. First of all, let's start off. What is prayer? If I were to ask the proverbial man on the street, what is prayer? One of the answers I might get quite a bit from people is, well, that prayer is asking God for things. And that's true, although it is only one aspect of prayer. It is a part of it, asking God to bless us and to deal with the issues in our lives. We've already done that together this morning. Nothing wrong with that. That's part of prayer. But it's really an inadequate definition in total. That same proverbial man in the street might answer, well, prayer is talking to God. That's a good answer. It's true. Getting closer. But that saying, talking to God, implies that it's a monologue. It's a one-way conversation. Prayer is when I talk to God. I tell him things. I give him my thoughts. I bring to him my concerns. It's pretty one way. My definition of prayer is simply this. Prayer is communing with God. There's a back and forth here. It's spending time with God, speaking to him, and listening to him. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. Prayer is being communication with God, communing with him, accessing his presence, making a personal connection, if you will, with God. And the reason this is significant is because at its heart, and I know you all know this, Christianity is not a religion. That same friend who gave me the line about the books, he said when people come up to him and say, well, I don't believe in religion. And his answer is, well, I don't either. I love Jesus Christ. And he's my personal savior. And I live for him. Christianity is not a religion. It's not even a set of beliefs, although there are a set of beliefs which help us to understand. But Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship between ourselves as individuals and a personal God. A God we can know through Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. One of the great hymns of the faith, one of the favorite hymns every church I've ever been to, says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have. Folks, you can't be friends to a religion. You can't be friends to a bunch of ideas or philosophies or dogma. You can only be friends with another friend. Christianity is a relationship. It involves knowing God, not just knowing about him. Did you know that I knew Billy Graham? I sat in a meeting where he spoke. And I've read a lot of what he wrote and heard him on television and other places. And I've read a couple biographies of him. So can I say I know Billy Graham? I've never met him. Do I know him? No, I know about him. But I don't know him. The essence of Christianity is not just that we know about God or we know about Jesus, but we know him personally. And prayer is spending time with our personal God, conversing as you would with any friend, being in the moment, conscious of being together. Another line from a favorite hymn says this, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Prayer is that. Walking and talking, relating, communing, being in the moment, connecting with God. Now, there are different forms of that. There's public prayer. We've already had a couple of those this morning. There's silent prayer where you don't say anything. Just come before God and listen for his still small voice speaking to you. Sometimes prayer can be a regularly scheduled time. I encourage that. If you have a particular time in the morning or whatever works best for you, that you schedule to spend this time with God in prayer. It's a good thing to do. But prayer isn't always scheduled. There are what I call 911 prayers. You all know what those are, right? Suddenly you're in a problem, a situation has arose, and you just cry out, Lord, have mercy, help me. That's a 911 prayer. There's also what I call Fiddler on the Roof prayers. If you've ever seen the movie, you know that the main character in Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye the Milkman, just carries a running dialogue with God all day long. As he's doing his work, he's just talking, not in church words, but just the way he would talk to somebody. Oh, Lord, I'm having a tough day. You know, why did you do that? Yeah, just talking to him as it came to his mind. Fiddler on the Roof prayers. There's group praying. We do that on Wednesday night. I encourage you to join us. Or there's individual praying when you're all by yourself in your prayer closet, so to speak. There are written prayers. I use them from time to time. They're helpful because other people sometimes have a way of expressing something that I'm finding difficulty expressing, and I read that prayer and say, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's how I feel. And, of course, there's spontaneous prayers, just as God brings things to your mind. All sorts of prayers. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So when people say to me, how should I pray? You know what my answer is? However. However, just do it. So that's prayer. Prayer is communing with God, making a personal connection with him in a very intentional way. Second question, why should we pray? And I can answer that in two ways that are pretty easy to understand. The first way is, first reason I should say, is we pray because we can. We pray because God's given us prayer. He's made it possible for us to pray. He's made prayer available for us. Some of you may know the name Diane Muse. Diane was a gospel singer here in Maine for many, many years. Sang in a lot of churches. I'm guessing she probably sang in this church at one time or another, because she hit just about all of them in Maine through her life. She would go to churches, and she was a wonderfully professional singer, but chose never to ask for an honorarium and would just go wherever they asked her to go and sing and receive whatever offering they might decide to give her. Wonderful lady, great voice, powerful servant of God. She was a member of the church I pastored, and so on the Sundays when she didn't have concerts, she'd be in church with her husband, Leo. She died several years ago, way too young. But Diane would always end her concerts with "How Great Thou Art." And she would always end "How Great Thou Art" by hitting the highest note possible. I used to joke with her. I said, I think dogs all over the neighborhood were probably running. You know, "How great thou art, how great thou..." I'm not going to try to hit it, but you get the idea. And I asked her one time, I said, why do you end that way? And she said, several people have asked me that over the years. She said, my answer is because I can. Now, you'd have to know Diane. That was not an arrogant statement for her. She firmly believed that God gave her her voice. And because God gave her that voice, she was going to use it for his glory. And if God gave it, made it possible for her to hit that high note right on pitch with power, any of you singers know what I'm talking about, she was going to do it for the glory of God. Because she could. We have access, folks, to the King of the universe at any and all moments of our lives. Have you ever thought about that? God is not in the least reluctant to hear from us or to enter into dialogue with us. He's not erecting barriers. He's not making it difficult. In fact, God does everything to make prayer possible. He invites us. He freely accepts our prayers. We think we have to try to impress God by having good words. He doesn't care. He just wants you to come, and he makes it possible for you to do that. He provides helps for us through the scriptures and otherwise. He encourages us to pray. He does all of that to make prayer possible. Wouldn't we be foolish not to take advantage of it? Anytime, anywhere, God says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come unto me. Why wouldn't we? We pray because we can. And we should never, ever, ever take that for granted. But the second way to answer that question as to why we pray is this. We should. We should. Because we need what only prayer can provide. Prayer is a response to the truth that we understand that we're not in control. We understand that we're dependent. Oh, we'd like to think we're in control. We like to think we're independent. But oftentimes, God has a habit of allowing things to happen in our lives to specifically show us that we're not. And if we're thinking soberly at any given point, we realize that we're not. There are things that only God can do. There are things that we cannot do. God's smarter than we are. He knows more than we do. He sees more clearly than we do. He's wiser than we are. He's more knowledgeable than we are. He's stronger than we are. He's promised to care about us, to listen, and to answer in ways that are for our good and pour out his grace on us. Doesn't it make sense that we avail ourselves of all that he makes available to us? I think Hebrews 4:16 says it best. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So why should we pray? Because we can, and also because we should. And then thirdly, what does prayer accomplish? What happens when we pray? The easy answer to that is, well, God gives us things. That's a crass way maybe of just putting that. We like to say it more religiously sounding, say, well, he blesses us. But what are we really saying? You know, we pray, we ask him for things, God gives them to us. It's not wrong to say that. The Bible says that. Verses like, you have not because you ask not. And Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. But folks, we need to make sure that we understand that prayer is more than just getting things from God. Prayer is more than just getting the help we need to solve our latest problem or to deal with our latest issue. Prayer is more than that. What prayer does is strengthen our relationship, the relationship we have with God. That's what prayer ultimately does. It strengthens the relationship. It deepens the intimacy. It increases our knowledge of God. Today's society, we now have a whole world out there that we call virtual. The virtual world through our computers, through the internet. There are many people in this world that only know other people through social media today. They only know other people through what they see on the screen, in the contact they have with people, in chat rooms or social media or wherever. And that's led to a whole proliferation of people who put false identities out there and enter into relationships with people as somebody they're really not. There's even a term for that, catfishing, where you pretend to be somebody you're not and carry on a long-term relationship with somebody because you know you're never going to actually see them. And yes, thousands of people do this. The virtual world is not the real world. The only real way of knowing somebody is to see them and spend time with them, right? You can't know people otherwise. The virtual world may be helpful at times. Most of my closest friends are geographically very distant from me. I'm able to continue my relationship with them through the computer, and that's been helpful. But it's really a poor substitute for time spent together. Yesterday, Wanda and I had lunch with friends that we hadn't seen in a while. We don't get to see very often. We feel like we know them a whole lot better now after yesterday. Why? Because we communed with them. Not just an email or a text or even a call. When it comes to our relationship with God, the same is true. We need to spend time, and when we do, the relationship is strengthened. The more time you spend in communion with God, the less of a stranger he becomes. The more you feel loved, desired, cherished by him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "I want to know Christ." Which I always found interesting because my first thought when I first saw that is, well, didn't he know Christ? Yes, he did. But what is he really saying? I don't want to just know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want my relationship with him to be greater and deeper and more intimate and more special and more powerful. I want to know him. I remember a poster I saw in a church years and years ago. And the poster said this, "If God seems far away, guess who moved?" How do you keep God from seemingly being far away? Spending time with him in prayer. Prayer keeps us, to quote yet another hymn this morning, prayer keeps us near to the heart of God. And it does. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Pray continually." Some of our Bible versions translate that, "Pray without ceasing." And that sounds somewhat impractical and impossible. What does he mean by that? It obviously does not mean spending 24 hours a day with your eyes closed, your head bowed, and on your knees. In fact, if I spend too many minutes on my knees, I might not get back up. That's not what he's saying when he says pray without ceasing. What I think it means is to be in a continual attitude of prayer throughout the day, being conscious of him. I've used this illustration before. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself already. I haven't been here all that long. But the best way I can describe it is just simply that old TV commercial where somebody looks in the refrigerator, has a beverage in their hand, they look and they say, wow, I could have had a V8. I think praying without ceasing means we never go, wow, I should have prayed. Because it would be normal. It would occur to us because we're already there in consciousness of God and being in his presence throughout the day. Prayer becomes a default activity in each and every situation, whatever it is we're doing, part of our everyday life. Throughout my years in the pastorate, some people have said, well, I don't really know how to pray. One of the first things I tell them is, first of all, just do it. You'll learn. You'll grow. But secondly, remember that you're not alone when you pray. According to the scriptures, each member of the Trinity is involved when you pray. You recognize that? Did you know that? According to the scripture, God the Father invites us. He listens. He cares. He answers. He blesses. According to the Bible, Jesus, the Son of God, is our great high priest. We read about that in Hebrews 4, interceding for us. So one way to think about that is Jesus is advocating for us before the throne of God. And then the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, said the Spirit helps us in our praying when we don't know how. The Spirit takes our fumbling attempts and somehow does something to them in the spiritual realm, and they end up getting to Jesus, having been led by the Spirit, and Jesus presents them to the Father, who's already said he cares about us. God has provided everything we need to pray. Yes, reading books is helpful. Yes, finding specific ways to help you in our prayers is worth doing. But the important thing is that we do it. I again turn to Hebrews 4:16 that we read and I already mentioned once. Let us approach God's throne of grace. It's another way of saying let us pray. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. With confidence. Some Bible versions translate that Greek word with boldness. We can approach God that way. There is absolutely no reason not to pray. You can't give me one reason, or anybody else can't give me one reason not to pray. There's plenty of reasons to pray. We're left then with just a question. Where is prayer in your life, in my life? Is it something that's a priority? Are you seeking to grow in your prayer life? As I said before, growth comes through praying, and praying comes through growth. Works both ways. So the question is, there it is, prayer. Will we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's convicting. Thank you, Lord, for pointing out our weaknesses so that we can seek your help. Lord, I know I don't pray the way I should. So I pray, Lord, that you would help me to grow in this, as in all other areas. And I pray for all of us here and who are listening to this, that each one of us might grow in our prayer life with you. Thank you so much for making it possible. In Christ's name.